God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Toil.
For he gives to his beloved sleep.
Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord,
the fruit of the womb a reward.
Like arrows in the hand of a warrior
are the children of one's youth.
Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them.
He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate.
Oh, merciful Father, your patience and loving kindness toward us have no end. Grant that by your Holy Spirit, we may always think and do those things that are pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Angel's Tide is from the first book of Moses called Genesis, the second chapter. The Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord,
who walks in his ways.
You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands.
You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you.
Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house.
Your children will be like olive shoots around your table.
Behold, thus shall the man be blessed
who fears the Lord.
The Lord bless you from Zion.
May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life.
May you see your children's children.
Peace be upon Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord,
who walks in his ways.
The reading from the letters is from the letter to the Hebrews, the second chapter. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Now it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one origin. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory be to you, Lord.
Pharisees came up and, in order to test Jesus, asked, Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? He answered them, What did Moses command you? They said, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away. And Jesus said to them, Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. And in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. And he said to them, Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man. And was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is
you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the gospel reading in which the Pharisees try to test Jesus by asking him about divorce. And Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." This is our text. Before we head to the gospel reading, I'd like to begin with the first verse that we heard from the letters. In the letter to the Hebrews, we heard this: "Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it." What we have heard is the word of God, the word that God has spoken to us by his prophets and apostles and evangelists. We must pay closer attention to it. If we don't pay closer attention to the Word of God, if it's not in our minds and in our hearts, if the Word of God is not the anchor holding us fast, then we will drift away from it, little by little, slowly but surely. Because that's what happens, isn't it? We're not believers one day and then unbelievers the next. We don't usually go from right to wrong in one great leap, but usually an inch at a time. Doubting what God has said, listening to what we've heard from the world, giving in to our desires, following our feelings. Maybe it seems harmless at first. Drifting always does. We haven't gone that far yet. You don't notice. But before you know it, hearts once tender and open to the Word of God have grown hard in sin and unbelief. And the people and world that God created good is no longer good. So when the Pharisees approach Jesus one day, as we heard in the gospel reading, notice what they ask. Their question isn't about what is good, but about what is lawful. Or in other words, what do we have to do? What can we get away with? What loopholes are there? You know, the Pharisees in their question, they're not interested in marriage at all. They simply want to test Jesus. They want to trip him up. They want to find that gotcha question that will finally give them victory over Jesus and hopefully shut him up for good. They've done this before, trying to test him, and they'll do it again. All kinds of questions they ask Jesus. Marriage was just the one they chose that day. So, is it lawful, Jesus, for a man to divorce his wife? What do you say? But Jesus isn't about the law. Jesus is about the good, what he made good. Because that's who Jesus is, though the Pharisees don't know it, or they won't know it. He is the God of all creation standing before them. He's the God who created them. He's the God who gives good gifts like life and marriage, gifts to be received with thanksgiving. But how the Pharisees had drifted. Of course, they must know that divorce isn't good, right? Surely they know that, but is it lawful, Jesus? Can we do it anyway? But did they know? And how about us? Look at our world today. Look at marriage in our world today. Do we know? What are we hearing from the world? Well, lots of things, right? Many are saying not that marriage is good, but many are saying, in fact, that marriage is not good, at least not the way that God designed it. One man, one woman, one flesh, no one else allowed in for a lifetime. But the world says, well, I can marry whomever I want. The world says, I don't need a piece of paper to have sex and children and divorce. You would be surprised, maybe you've seen it, but in major media in the last year, maybe 2 years, there have been news articles glamorizing divorce. Not just talking about divorce as a sort of necessary evil, but actually people saying that, you know, I had a really good spouse, my marriage was actually pretty decent, I just didn't want to be married anymore. Making divorce out to be good. To be the answer when I fall out of love, or when I get tired of the other person, or when someone better comes along. And marriage? Oh, just watch a TV show. It's made out to be the old ball and chain. You know, have your fun now before you get married, because once you do, the world says it's all over then. How far we've drifted from what God created. When God created someone who had never been before a woman and walked her down the aisle of Eden and gave her to Adam and Adam to her, that's what it was like in the beginning. And they rejoiced in one another, and they rejoiced with one another, and from that oneness came more good children. Although many don't consider children good anymore either. Accidents, inconveniences, burdens, a problem to be dealt with. And you know what? That's all lawful in our world. So what's a God to do? What is God to do with such hardness of heart? What is God to do with people like us? Because it's not just marriage, right? But consider how far we've drifted from God in so many ways. And yet we continue to find ways to justify ourselves. Not asking if what we're doing is good, but asking, is it lawful? Can I get away with it? Did God really say that? So Jesus doesn't answer with the law, but he answers with what is good. He takes them back to the beginning, takes us back to the beginning, before sin, to the good that God created and gave. Yes, creation is fallen. Yes, marriage as well is only marriage for us in a fallen world. Marriage bonds are broken today, not just by divorce, but by all kinds of things. Abuse, desertion, adultery, unfaithfulness. And remember that those things don't just happen in the body, but in the mind and in the heart, as do all sins. The long and the short of it is this, that the world is a mess. We are a mess. Fallen. And just because we call something good doesn't mean that it is. What's good is not what we call good, but what God calls good. Things are what he says they are. And even in a fallen and sinful world, God still gives good. Even in a fallen and sinful world, marriage is still a good gift from God. Not when we take it and do whatever we want with it, but when it's received as God gives it. Remember what happened when Adam and Eve, instead of receiving what was given, took what was not given in the Garden of Eden? And when we take what is not given to us, the result is not good. So what's a God to do with a people like that? We know what God should have done. He should have written a certificate of divorce and sent us sinners away. He should have simply let us have what we think is good, let us destroy ourselves now and forever. But he didn't. That's not what our God chose to do. Instead, he caused a deep, deep sleep to fall upon a man. His son made man, the second Adam. He allowed a sleep, a 3-day sleep in death, to fall on that man, so that from his rising again, we might have life, a good life, that we might be born again, born from above, that kind of life, children of God life, that we might be a new creation, come from his side, from the water and blood that flowed from the cross, that we might be made new, that we might be made good and holy brides of Christ, washed clean from our sin and our ungoodness, and that we might be one flesh with him, made good again. That's what God chose to do, sending his Son into the world, sending Jesus to be the bridegroom of us fallen and sinful people. It's interesting, when we think of marriage, we know the hardship, many of you know the hardship of death separating you from your loved one. Death usually separates wives from husbands and husbands from wives. And yet the amazing thing about this, what Jesus did, is that his death does not separate him from us, but his death unites him to us. For he joined us in our death, so that we might be united to him in his resurrection, so that all the things that are not good might be left in the cold, hard grave, so that all of our sin might be buried with him in death, that as he rises to life, we might have new life as well. So that what we really have is not simply good for a time until death comes, but what we have in Christ is really good. We have life. Not because of a loophole of the law, but we have life in the forgiveness of our sins. You have that life again today, for your sins are forgiven again in Christ. Just as they were washed away in your baptism, washed by water and word, and also by the blood, the water of baptism, the holy absolution, the blood of his supper. And this he gives not just for some sins or one sin or a few sins. He does this for every sin, none excepted. There is no sin of yours or of mine that Christ has not paid for by his death. Every sin and failure in marriage, paid for. Every sin of thought, word, and deed, paid for. Every doubt and failure to listen to God's word, when we've said not is it good and right, but is it lawful, paid for. Every sin of our bodies, every sin of our souls, paid for. Every sin of weakness and every sin done deliberately, paid for. Jesus died for all of them. He died for all that is not good in us, for all that is ugly and shameful. And he took it to the cross. This is how much our Lord loved us and how closely he wanted to be united to us that he said, "Give me what is yours." And we said, "It's just full of sin." And he said, "I'll take it. I'll take it to the cross so that it is no longer on you. I'll take that infection and corruption so that you might be made perfect by my suffering and death. That you might be made perfect by my rising to life again." And so you are. When your Father in heaven looks at you today, when he sees you covered by that love of Christ, that bleeding and dying love, when he looks at you and sees that your sin is on him, he sees a people who are perfect because God says that you are in Christ. And the gift of good that he gives you now, his gift, all we can do is receive it. Which doesn't mean, as sometimes people might say, that we can sin all we want. The forgiveness of sins that Christ gives is not a license to sin more, although the devil would like us to think it. The devil would like us to think, you can go ahead and sin because you'll be forgiven. But of course we know that if that's what's in our heart and mind, there too we've drifted so far from God and his word, from God and what he says is good. But rather, as we heard in that reading from Hebrews, Jesus was made like us in every way. And because he suffered when tempted, by the very same temptations that beset us, because he suffered when tempted, he is able to help us who are being tempted. Yes, we still live in a fallen world. We still carry with us our sinful nature. Temptations are sure to come, but He is able to help us. He is able to help us resist temptation. He is able to help us not give in. He is able to help us not lose what is good, because He anchors us to God and His Word, so that we do not drift away, but remain firm in Him. So rather than sin and know that we'll be forgiven, He is able to help us keep His Word. Consider the sixth commandment: "You shall not commit adultery," which means that we are to lead a chaste and decent life in what we say and do, and husband and wife love and honor each other. Christ is able to help us keep that commandment. Will we be perfect in thought, word, and deed every moment of every day? No. But He is able to help us so that we can fight to do what is good and what is right by the strength that Christ provides. And not only that commandment, but the other commandments as well. Not because it's the law, not because we have to, but to live the good life again. Not the good life of self-indulgence, not the good life of simply following my feelings, but the good life that is His gift to us, of laying down our lives for others, of helping others resist sin and temptation. The good life of remaining anchored to God and His Word. It's the life that Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden before they took what was not given to them. The godly life, the life of Christ, the life that is given to you here, now, today. That we live in Him and through Him, and the life by which we live in Him and with Him forever. In the intro earlier, we heard these words: "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain." And He has built the house. He has built the houses of our bodies, the houses of our families, the house of our church, and the house of His kingdom. All of them His gifts to us. And God saw all that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And when there is evening and morning, the setting of the seventh day and the rising of the eighth day, when there is the new day of resurrection and eternity, then we know that all that is old and not good will pass away. We know all that we have carried in this life that has burdened us, sin and death, will be gone. We know that on that day, all that is new and good will rise, and we will see the good that has been here all along. And we know that on that day, you will live the good life that is yours already in Christ, and you will live it finally and fully and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the needs of the church and of the world.
Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son, and for the revelation of your will and grace. Implant your word in us, that with good and honest hearts we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We humbly implore you to rule and govern your church throughout the world. Bless all those who proclaim your truth, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, and that faith in you may be strengthened, love toward others increased, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest, and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to us and all people, and the gospel be preached in all the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, the governor and legislature of this commonwealth, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Grant them grace to rule according to your good pleasure, for the maintenance of righteousness and the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Look with mercy on all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Casey, Stephanie, and Annie. Lord, in your mercy, bring peace to the nations of the world, especially the Middle East and Ukraine, that people may lead lives of quiet contentment, and that your gospel may bring many to a knowledge of Christ. Come to the aid of all whose lives and property have been devastated by the recent storm. Protect the emergency workers and all who bring aid. Lord, in your mercy, guide and bless the work of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. Prosper its members' service as they use their hands to work for the Savior, their feet to go on his errands, their voices to sing his praises, their lips to proclaim his redeeming love, their gifts to extend his kingdom, and their will to do his will. Lord, in your mercy, comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity, especially Debbie, hospitalized with an infection, Timothy as he undergoes surgery, John as he goes through his isolation and treatment, Willow as she recovers from her hospital stay, as well as Diane, Amara, Marilyn, Al, Jared, Donna, Ed, Kay, Dave, Rosemarie, and Kate. Provide care for all who have mental health problems. Protect them from them and remove their shame. Lord, in your mercy, although we have deserved your righteous wrath and punishment, yet we ask you, O most merciful Father, not to remember the sins of our youth nor our many transgressions. Out of your unspeakable goodness and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger to body and soul. Lord, in your mercy, preserve us from false doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. In every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all, especially to those who believe. Lord, in your mercy, receive, O God, our bodies and souls and all our talents, together with the offerings we bring you. For by his blood your Son has purchased us to be your own, that we may live under him in his kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, these and whatsoever other things you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him your majesty is praised by all the holy angels and celebrated with one accord by the heavens and all the powers therein. The cherubim and seraphim sing your praise, and with them we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
today is Psalm 100, a psalm for giving thanks. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.